Cozy traditions feel good, and that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Plus, every product is 100% vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
Welcome to another episode of Routes Through Pokemon. I'm guitarist Shaylock.
And I'm medium Ruby.
And together we are a father and daughter duo journeying through the Pokemon series of video games, the Pokemon anime, and the Pokemon Adventures manga. And this week we are on Route 17 as we begin our journey in Kanto, starting in Vermilion City. Well, actually, starting on the SS Aqua, on its way to Vermilion City. But before we get into all that, let's catch up on what's been going on. So what's been going on with you for the summer so far, Ruby?
Well, at the beginning of June, we went on a family trip, which was fun. And
Yeah, I forgot about that. Hiking around and seeing some animals and stuff.
Yeah, we went to a fun animal place that we got money for Christmas to go to, and it was really fun. Got to, like, be up close with a bunch of animals and pet them. And this month, we've been doing summer school, which has been taking up a lot of time, but the last day is tomorrow on Friday, which I've been enjoying a good amount. Some of it's not so fun, but most of it's fun. I'm glad I'm not public schooled. But yeah, I've not been doing too much this summer.
What have you been doing in summer school?
They let you choose three classes, and my first session is basketball, then it's Scandinavian folk art, and then jewelry making.
One of those you didn't start off with though, right? You were doing weight training or something?
Yeah, instead of jewelry making, but no one liked me there. I have a friend who I made on the bus ride, and we do jewelry making together.
Nice.
That is a lot of fun.
So for me, besides work and you guys being in summer school and stuff, it's been an interesting start to the summer. Mine's not been like necessarily a super enjoyable thing. Like we had fun when we went on the family trip, staying at a hotel and doing the animal place and then hiking around the next day. That was fun. But in there, my dad apparently suffered a stroke on his way to Florida. And he ended up in the hospital. And things were like, we kept getting reports that things were like, they had some hope about what they were doing and trying to navigate some stuff. But as we got more information later, it sounded a lot more dire than what we were first led to believe. And so my wife and I made a trip out to Florida as well to go see him. He was pretty unresponsive by this point, and he was being placed on hospice, and he was given not much time to live. So we definitely wanted to make a quick trip out there to be able to at least see him one last time before he was gone. And we were there for a couple of days, and we spent a lot of that time in the hospital room, but we also got to explore a little bit of the beach out there, touristy areas and stuff like that, which was fun. So there was a little fun there, but we did what we could, said our goodbyes, things like that, and then headed back. My brother was still down there to keep an eye on things and handle things when he did pass, because it seemed pretty imminent. And sure enough, it was a day or two after we got back.
Yeah, I think it was like 2 or 3 days.
No, it wasn't that long.
I thought you said that you were expecting it to be shorter, but...
We got back on Thursday morning, and he passed on early Saturday morning. So that's been an interesting situation, and now my brother is headed up back to where my dad was living at the time, in the northeast area of the country, and he's working on trying to navigate stuff there and get things settled and with just all his belongings and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's been not the most exciting, fun summer stuff so far. But overall, I'm doing okay. My father and I weren't super close. So, but things were looking like there had been some strides to rebuild some of that relationship, and now it's been kind of cut short, which is kind of a bummer. But otherwise, I'm not lost in depression or despair or anything like that. So sorry to bum you all out with that news, but that's been going on while I'm trying to work on other projects and stuff. So if there's a hiccup in the future or in the past now, probably, it's probably because of some of that. But that's really the big thing that's been consuming a lot of my time is work, projects, and that unexpected trip. So on the brighter side, going back to Pokemon stuff, I have been doing a lot with the event going on right now with all the Regis showing up in raids and stuff. Trying to get a high enough score or whatever to get the new bottle cap item, whatever that, I think that's to help train the attack and defense and stuff on some of your Pokemon. You can change the stats a bit.
Was that inspired by James?
I have to wonder. And then, I also got a lucky trinket, which you have to use within a certain amount of time, but you use it on one of your friends and they automatically become a lucky friend.
Ooh.
So that your next trade will be lucky, which I plan to use on one of my family so that when we start catching Eevees on the double community day in the beginning of July, hopefully we'll find lots and lots of shiny Eevees and get some lucky ones.
Should use it on me.
Probably.
Yes.
So, I am looking forward to that, and I've been having fun getting Regis because I didn't have all of them yet. I didn't have Regieleki and Regidrago, the dragon electric ones. But I do now.
They make a dragon Regi, but can't make a dragon Eeveelution.
Not yet, at least. Hopefully. Hopefully someday. We'll get all of them. Yeah, I think that's about it. So, let's go ahead and jump back into our adventures in the game. Last time we played, we beat the Elite Four. Then we restarted our game, or rebooted the games back up. We're back in New Barktown. Mom didn't say anything new because she's a loser. And we went and talked to Professor Elm, who gave us a ticket for the SS Aqua that departs from Olivine City and will take us to Vermilion in Kanto to catch Kanto Pokemon. And when we boarded the boat, some old man runs into us and says, "Hey, have you seen my granddaughter? She's lost." And then he runs off.
She's lost.
So from there, we start exploring the boat. And similar to the SS Anne from before, you got trainers in some of the rooms. What's different than the SS Anne is that there is a cabin that is for us that has a computer in it so we can switch out Pokemon. And a bed that recovers us and our Pokemon.
Was there none of that on the SSN?
No, Aqua. We always...
Wait, which one are we on?
We're on the Aqua.
Oh, so SSN.
Yeah, the SSN, we always had to leave the boat and go all the way back to the Pokemon Center and come back.
Wow, that was rude of them.
Because it was just docked there. It wasn't sailing, you know?
Still, they could have offered us a room.
Well, they didn't. So yeah, we're battling people there. There's different kinds of trainers that we've met before. There's even some twins, Meg and Peg. And downstairs, there's a guy, a sailor, that won't let us go any further to try to find the granddaughter. Oh, one of the rooms had the grandfather up above. And so then we go down there, and the guy won't let us go further to look for the granddaughter. He's like, "Hey, the guy who's supposed to take over my shift is slacking somewhere."
I thought he was buddies. Maybe his buddy was supposed to take. I think they were at least buddies, but maybe his buddy had to take over his shift.
Well, whatever. He was complaining about the other guy slacking. He called the other guy a lazy slacker or whatever, and we had to go find him.
I think he called him lazy, but that's just because he has a lazy friend.
All right, so then we go back upstairs, and one of the rooms that was empty before has the missing sailor. So then we have to battle him, and then we're able to get through. And then there's some more trainers to battle, and one that's supposed to be, I think, a trick. Like, it's a girl just facing a wall, so you don't have to fight her. But you think, oh, this might be the missing girl. So you talk to her and then battle. But we just battle everybody anyway. So it wasn't really a good trick for us.
Nope.
So we finish all of them. And then we go up some other stairs and find the captain's cabin. And the granddaughter's in there. And we can't reach the captain because the granddaughter's in the way. So we talk to her. And then my plan was that she'd leave to go back to the grandfather. Because she's like, oh, he was worried about me. I better go back. And then I could talk to the captain. Only it teleports us back to the grandfather.
Yippee doodle.
So, of course, I wasted all that time trying to go back to the captain to get nothing new except for him being like, thank you. It was exhausting trying to entertain that little girl. Oh, but big important thing is the grandfather gave us something for finding the granddaughter.
Yes.
Do you remember what it was?
No.
Well, how do you think you got your new shiny Steelix?
By trading it.
But it has to have something to hold. It has to hold something.
Oh, a metal coat!
The metal coat! And that's how I got Scizor.
Yep. Congrats.
So, we got those, and then I got a Steelix in crystal as well. So.
And of course, per usual, I had to trade them all by my lonesome.
Which never happens. It's always up to me.
Not always. I used to help you.
You used to do a little bit, and I still had to do a ton later.
I used to do all of it with you.
Maybe the first two times.
First two times. I remember doing it a bunch and being like, more trading. And then like a quarter way through. So like first like 20 times.
20 times? Okay.
Well, then maybe it was halfway through the first game. Maybe we did it all the way through the first
game. We definitely didn't do it through the whole first game. Oh, I can definitely guarantee that.
I definitely did a lot of it with you. Back then.
Anyway, I'm doing all the trading.
You take the device and usual. Do it.
That's because I know you're not going to sit there with me and I need to get it done, so.
I will sit there with you if you made me.
If I made you? I don't want to have to do that. I want you to continue having fun. So, after finishing all that, there's a little ding dong, just like if we're in the safari zone or whatever. And the boat has arrived. So we disembark and explore Vermilion City, and one of the first things I notice is that we cannot go east like we used to be able to do. So we can't reach Diglett Cave, and we can't go through all that grass area that leads to the boardwalk or whatever, or the docks that can lead up to Lavender Town. Because there's a huge Snorlax blocking our path. And he's sleeping. And we do not have a Pokemon flute.
Is the Pokemon flute an item?
It was in the first games.
So just give it to a Pokemon.
To hold?
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder if that works. It might be a key item, so you might not be able to. I bet you it's a key item.
Dang it. Probably is a key item.
I'll check, but I bet you can't do that.
Can you not make them hold key items?
No, because when you go to give an item, it opens up the item menu, and I don't think you can go anywhere else.
Darn.
That would have been a slick way to try to shortcut something. So, since we couldn't go there, and we wanted to explore Vermilion City anyway, we do, and you found the Pokemon fan club place first.
I talked to everyone in both towns.
Yeah, you did. Both towns. Wow, we're still in Vermilion.
We already told them that we were going to both towns.
I know.
Last week.
Settle down. Anyway, yes. And so what did we get there?
A rare candy.
And how do we get the rare candy?
By listening to the old man babble.
Yeah, the president of the Pokemon fan club, who says he's caught over 150 Pokemon, different kinds. So he must have finished the Kanto, or did most of Kanto, and did a decent amount of Johto.
Yes.
And one of the people, Because of course, at the fan club, a lot of people have their Pokemon out with them, like they did before. And one's like a Clefairy or something. I don't remember what it is. But the other one was a Johto Pokemon. It was a Bayleaf.
Ooh, yeah.
So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And, oh, we also met a fishing guy who talked about the fishing guru.
I also met him first.
Yeah, but you mentioned the fishing person on, like, Route 44, right?
Yep.
What was interesting is in Crystal, he was different. He talked a little different, and he also mentioned... What?
Talk different? You do the voices.
No, I mean, like, the way his text is written out, he has a very different, like, style of talking.
Okay. And... I was like, yeah, he could talk different if you give him an Asian accent.
But he also, instead of talking about the fisher person on Route 44, he was talking about the fishing guru by Lake Rage. By the Lake of Rage? Remember there was a little hut right by the Lake of Rage with the fishing person in it?
Oh.
And he says, at least in Crystal, that guy likes to see Magikarp, so if you ever catch Magikarp, show him to him.
Ooh.
So I might have to do that in Crystal.
Lovely.
Anyway, so yeah. We chatted everybody in town. Oh, and the person that was trying to, like, build something in Vermilion City back in Red and Blue is still there wanting to build something with his Machop crushing the ground still.
And he needed money, so I was like, I'll give you money. But he didn't ask for money.
He just says he needs it. He doesn't ask.
He should ask.
Right?
If it was just a normal person like me going to talk to him, then I'd just give him money.
But then, there's the Vermilion City Gym, and we can reach it two ways, because we could just surf around to it, or cut through the tree like before.
That's what I did, I cut.
Yeah, me too. And we enter the gym, and
I had to get my Geodude.
Yes. Well, you mean your Golem?
Sure.
The final evolution of Geodude?
Yep.
Anyway, we go in there, and that guy that's always like, hey, champ in the making, he mentions that Lieutenant Surge is a very, takes a lot of precautions, and there's, like, traps set up, just like in the first one, which wasn't really traps, it was just a barrier that you had to get through with finding the secret switch. But he's like, oh, you would have to do that, however, it's not working. Like, he laughs. And... so we don't have to worry about the whole bucket challenge, which is great.
Yep.
And there was three trainers we could choose to fight. We could get around them if we wanted to, but we didn't. Mm-mm. And so I don't remember what they all were. There was a gentleman. I forget what the one on the left was. And then there was a guitarist, which was a new trainer type for us this week.
Which I wanted to be.
Sucks to be you. I'm the cool one, so I get to be the guitarist.
No, you're not. No one would watch if it wasn't for me.
Nobody watches anyway.
No one would listen if it wasn't for me. No one would tune in if it wasn't for me.
Anyway.
You admitted to it the other day.
I did. Anyway, so we battle all these people, and it was easy with Golem, plus I had... Flicker for, like, the Magnemites, which were steel and electric, so I could just burn them. And then we go to Lieutenant Surge, who... Oh, wait. The gentleman. The gentleman had an Ampharos among some other Kanto electric Pokemon, so that was kind of cool, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Lieutenant Surge didn't have any Johto Pokemon. He just used his Raichu right off the bat, which was one of the two highest levels, and then he, like, threw a couple Electrodes at me.
He threw an Electrode, and then... his next strongest, Electabuzz, at me. And then another Electrode.
And he had a Magneton, which I, again, used Flicker to melt down. And then, yeah, then he had Electabuzz, which was his other high-level one, which was last for me. But, again, easy, because I had Golem. However, in Crystal, I did not switch out for, like, a ground-type Pokemon. I just used the party I had. And so the battle was a little bit tougher. Nope. Because I had nothing that was strong against anything except for whenever Magnemite or Magneton were out, I had my Typhlosion.
Hmm.
So, I struggled a little bit more. It wasn't, like, it wasn't bad, but I did have to use, like, a potion and stuff in there.
I did not. I was fine.
Yeah, and Silver, I was fine. And so, we got a Thunder Badge, so now we have 9 badges instead of just 8, which is exciting.
Yeah!
And... let's see. So then, yeah, when we leave there, we go north, since that's the only other option we have besides the boat. And We searched around the grass a little bit, but we just found, like, Meowths and Pidgeys and...
I didn't find any Meowths. I only found Pidgeys and Bellsprouts.
Yeah, I found Meowth. I don't think I found a Bellsprout, but a lot of Pidgeys and a Meowth. And there were no trainers there, but there was a guy that blocked the underground entrance, so we couldn't just skip off to Cerulean City. Ooh! What I did forget to mention is back at Lieutenant Surge, he calls us boy, since you can only be a boy in gold and silver anyway, right? And so it made me curious. I'm like, I kind of wish I had chosen a girl for Crystal to see what he'd say, but I don't think it matters, because when I played in Crystal, you know what he called me?
Child.
Tyke.
Tyke? Wow.
He didn't use gender at all, so he just covered all his bases. Just Tyke. But basically child, yes. So
if you had chosen female, it would have been Tykelet.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Well, you go play a Crystal on one of the systems and get all the way there as a female, let me know.
You know I barely keep up as it is.
Also, in Crystal, when we go up into that area, in Crystal there are two trainers right at the first part of the path. There are two guys talking about their cute Pokemon. One has a Phanpy, I battle him, beat the Phanpy. The other one has Teddy Ursa, and I beat that one.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and they were both Poke fans.
Oh, but... I was like, why were the boys talking about their cute Pokemon?
Yeah. I don't know. So... yeah, they were just like the Pokefan types with the ones that have the child in their sprite.
Oh, yep.
So then we go up north and we go past the security guard. And I think this might be the first place where somebody actually mentions that the power plant isn't working. Yes, it is. Because he talks about the magnet train.
You scared me.
Sorry. Oy. But it is. It's where he talks about the magnet train. It's like, this is the home of the magnet train. Or at least it would be if it was working. But with the power plant not working and the magnet train... needing electricity, you know.
Oh, okay.
And then the guys, there was a guy, actually, I don't think he says the thing about the electricity. I think the guy at the magnet train station, but not the security, like not the one that runs the magnet train, but the other guy that's just standing there. He's like, yeah, this is the magnet train. It uses magnets and electricity to go at super speed or whatever, which needs, you know, electricity, which we don't have. Mm-hmm. So they say it, and I think maybe a couple other people mentioned the fact that the power plant's not running. We also have somebody mention that Lavender Town has a radio tower. So Kanto now has a radio tower too, not just Johto, which was kind of exciting to find out.
Ooh la la.
And Mr. Psychic is still around, and he just predicts that we want a TM and he gives it to us, which is just Psychic again, like it was in Red and Blue. Oh, another thing that I've found... at the shops that I don't know what to do with yet. But in Vermilion City, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the list for shopping at the Pokemart, there's a thing called Blue Mail or something like that. And it only costs 50, so I bought one. And if you look at the description, it says it has like a Dratini print mail.
Oh.
And in Saffron City, they have flower mail, which is a flower print mail. And it says it's a hold item, like you can give it to a Pokemon to hold, but I don't know to what end. So, I'm interested to figure out what that's about.
Guess we'll find out.
And then, when you go... I thought it was kind of crazy that they were going to fit all of Kanto into this game, since we already have so much with Johto as well. Like, there can be only be so much room with adding extra Pokemon and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was like, how are they going to cram everything in here? And obviously they took certain shortcuts. For one, you don't have a weird puzzle, which might take a little bit less information, you know, for the Lieutenant Surge place. But then the Sylph Company building, you go in there and there's a receptionist, but then there's a guy blocking the upstairs. And there's no elevator, I think, which there used to be. Anyway, and he's like, oh yeah, only... people that work here can go up there. But since you came all this way, I'll give you this item. And he gives us an item called the upgrade. And I say it with a pause because there was a dash in between. It's not just upgrade. And I'm pretty sure that's what we need for a Porygon to evolve into Porygon 2.
Isn't there another step in there somewhere that might have to be done?
For Porygon?
Yeah.
Well, we need to get a Porygon.
For a Porygon 2. I was making a joke because it's trading.
Oh, yeah. We'll need to trade them. Yes.
But I won't have to do any of the trading skills training.
Yeah, you don't have to do nothing. There's no step for you. I have steps to do. But we also need to get a Porygon to begin with.
That'll be easy. I should have probably found one in the grass already.
I don't think they're wild. Like, the only way we got Porygon in Red or Blue was from the game corner, and we just bought our way to it, so...
If I'm lucky, ooh, which I am, one will escape and be in the grass for me.
Maybe. So, yeah, we wander... So, in San Francisco... So, Sylph Company, get the upgrade. The copycat girl still around, where she makes herself just look just like us and talks to us?
Yep.
Which is, I think, what Duplica was based off of in the anime.
Fun.
So that was kind of fun. She's known as Copycat.
And her parents don't like her.
Yeah, they think she's self-centered or something.
Yeah.
At least the mom did. I don't know if the dad said anything negative.
He just didn't sound happy.
Maybe. Maybe it was just the general vibe of the atmosphere with his words. Was there anything? Oh, the fighting dojo is still there, but only one guy's there, and he said that the Karate King isn't there right now. He went off to Johto and is in some cave somewhere. Ooh. Which, I've explored all the Whirl Islands, and we've both explored all of Dark Cave, and so I have a feeling, since there's an area we haven't gotten to in Mount Mortar yet, because it had Waterfall, and when we got Waterfall, we didn't go back yet. I bet you he's up there somewhere.
Yep, probably.
So we'll have to go find him. Which we might actually do before we hit the next gyms. We might sail back to Johto and find the Karate King.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
See what he has for us before we come back and take on more gems and uncover more of the mystery of the downed power plant. And then I think the last step then is just Sabrina's gem.
And it's psychic, so I just use Bite from my Umbreon.
And it was psychic, so I just used Bite from my Espeon, because psychic moves aren't super strong against psychic, and Bite's still strong. I mean, my Bite is not as powerful as Umbreon's, because I don't have the type advantage to it, but it was still super effective. And it was interesting, because there was only four trainers we had to get through this time, instead of, like, all eight or something.
But there were empty rooms, and it was still the whole teleporting.
Yeah, there were still nine rooms, still teleportation. And to get to the center to finally fight Sabrina. But she went down fast, and she was really easy for Crystal as well, because Crystal does have an Umbreon that just bit through everybody.
Ooh la la.
And then we got our Marsh badge as well. And she predicted 3 years ago that we were going to show up, she said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because she's like, I predicted you'd be here. 3 years ago I had this prediction, and you're here for my badge. And I'm like, is that supposed to be proof that you predicted it? Of course we're here for the badge. Why else would we be in this gym teleporting around to find you?
I predicted 3 years ago that you were going to say that exact thing.
This is why you're medium Ruby.
Dang it!
Because that is what we found. We found mediums there and then psychics, which I think were a new trainer type from Johto, but obviously they threw them in this place. The kids with the psychic abilities or whatever.
Fancy.
And yeah, so we beat that, and I don't know what lies on the paths outside of this town, because Saffron's kind of the central hub of Kanto. Remember, we had to keep going underground to get around it in Red and Blue until we could finally get there?
Yes.
With the getting some drinks for the security guards?
Yes.
But now we're already there, and we came from the south without anything blocking us. And so I don't know if there's going to be something that blocks us north or west or east to force us a direction, or if we just have a choice to go wherever we darn well please. Because technically, we could have even done the Saffron Gym before we ever even did Vermilion City Gym. Like, we didn't have to do that gym to move on. I don't think, anyway.
Correct.
Unless the security guard would have stopped us and be like, actually, you need 9 gym badges before you can come in here.
Doubt.
I doubt it, too. So I'm very curious, and we'll have to make a decision at some point on where to go if all options are on the table.
Well, there's people blocking the Diglett Cave, and then there's
Well, there's not people. Snorlax. There's just a Snorlax blocking the Diglett Cave.
Underground tunnel.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a guy there.
Yes. And I'm going to guess that there's one on the opposite side, too, unless they leave once we finally beat Saffron. So it was just forcing us to do Saffron first, maybe? I really have no idea.
I guess we'll find out.
We shall. But besides that, we did the trade to get the those Pokemon. Plus, we also...
You mean I did the trade?
Right. Ruby did all the trading to take care of that. But we also evolved one of our Pokemon, and that was Skiploom into Jumpluff.
Yep.
And
I evolved mine before his. Like a day before his.
A battle before. And then we traded a bunch of Pokemon from Red, Blue, and Yellow to get the evolutions of Pokemon we already evolved from
over there.
But that is our coverage of our journey through the game so far. But I am excited to explore Kanto in color. That's pretty fun. Because we've only seen it black and white or like one single shade of color in yellow.
I didn't even see yellows.
I showed you on occasion.
Once.
Because I showed you at the Pokemon Centers, the Pokeballs also changed the shade of color then because everything was that shade.
Oh.
So, very excited to see what's going on in Kanto and figure out the mystery of the Pokemon, or the mystery of the power plant. And we will go back to Mount Mortar to see if we can find that Karate King or what might be on top of those falls. So, but I think that's it for this week. So now I guess it's time to cover our Pokedex entries.
Who's that Pokemon?
Raticate, Rat, number 20. Its whiskers help it to maintain balance. Its fangs never stop growing, so it gnaws to pare them down.
Gnaws on anything with its tough fangs. It can even topple concrete buildings by gnawing on them.
The webs on its hind legs enable it to cross rivers. It searches wide areas for food. It's like a Proverbs 31 woman. She brings her food from afar.
Yep.
And like wears it. Clothed in purple. Like, come on now.
Well, Raticate is brown. Raticate is purple.
Oh, so they were wise. But they went astray.
Speaking of purple.
Arbok, Cobra, number 24. Transfixing prey with the face-like pattern on its belly, it blinds and poisons the frightened victim.
To intimidate foes, it spreads its chest wide and makes eerie sounds by expelling air from its mouth.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
With a very vengeful nature, it won't give up the chase, no matter how far, once it targets its prey.
Steelix, Iron Snake, number 208. The many small metal particles that cover this Pokemon's body reflect bright light well.
It is said that if an Onix lives for over 100 years... its composition changes to become diamond-like.
What happens if Steelix lives over 100 years?
Maybe that's what a Steelix is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think the Mega Evolution, which comes much later in the series, does have more crystal-y, diamond-y like, kind of stuff.
Wasn't there like a thing about a Crystal Steelix in one of the episodes?
Yeah, we watched an episode called the Crystal Steelix. Or Onix, Crystal Onix.
Its body has been compressed deep under the ground. As a result, it is even harder than a diamond.
Whoa.
Victory Bell. Flycatcher, number 71. This horrifying plant Pokemon attracts prey with aromatic honey, then melts them in its mouth.
Acid that has dissolved many prey become sweeter, making it more effective at attracting prey.
Once ingested into this Pokemon's body, even the hardest object will melt into nothing.
Jumpluff, Cottonweed, number 189. Once it catches the wind, it deftly controls its cotton puff spores to float, even around the world.
Even in the fiercest wind, it can control its fluff to make its way to any place in the world it wants.
Drifts on seasonal winds and spreads its cotton-like spores all over the world to make more offspring.
It's like you.
That makes it sound like I sleep around.
You direct them to go right where you want them.
Oh, jeez.
Poliwrath, tadpole, number 62. It can use its well-developed arms and legs to run on the surface of the water for a split second.
Although an energetic, skilled swimmer that uses all of its muscles, it lives on dry land.
This strong and skilled swimmer is even capable of crossing the Pacific Ocean just by kicking.
Nidoqueen, drill, number 31. It uses its scaly, rugged body to seal the entrance of its nest and protect its young from predators.
Its body is covered with needle-like scales. It never shows sign of shrinking from any attack.
The hard scales that cover its strong body serve as excellent protection from any attack.
Nidoking, drill, number 34. It swings its big tail around during battle. If its foe flinches, it will charge with its sturdy body.
It uses its thick arms, legs, and tail to attack forcefully. Melee combat is its specialty.
Its tail is thick and powerful. If it binds an enemy, it can snap the victim's spine quite easily.
Sizer, scissors, number 212. This Pokemon's pincers, which contain steel, can crush any hard object it gets a hold of into bits.
Its wings are not used for flying. They are flapped at high speed to adjust its body temperature.
Nice.
Interesting. It swings its eye-patterned pincers up to scare its foes. This makes it look like it has three heads.
Interesting. Do the pincers crush crystal onyx, though?
Good question. They're both steel-type Pokemon, so.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wheezing, poison gas, number 110. Top-grade perfume is made using its internal poison gases by diluting them to the highest level.
If one of the twin coughing inflates, the other one deflates. It constantly mixes its poisonous gases.
When it inhales poisonous gases from garbage, its body expands and its insides smell much worse. I thought this thing smelled bad on the outside.
Okay, Han Solo.
Machamp, superpower, number 68. It quickly swings its forearms to rock its opponents with ceaseless punches and chops from all angles.
With forearms that react more quickly than it can think, it can execute many punches at once.
It uses its four powerful arms to pin the limbs of its foe, then throws the victim over the horizon.
Kingler, pincer, number 99. Its oversized claw is very powerful, but when it's not in battle, the claw just gets in the way.
Cookie, cookie, cookie. Its pincers grow peculiarly large. If it lifts the pincers too fast, it loses its balance and staggers.
It can hardly lift its massive overgrown pincer. The pincer's size makes it difficult to aim properly.
All right, and that's our Pokedex entries for the week. And so then, all that's left for us is Pokemon cards!
Yay!
All right, so let's go ahead and dig in. So I will be opening Scarlet and Violet Paldean Fates with Tinkatink or one of its evolutions or whatever on it.
Definitely an evolution.
Okay.
I will be opening Scarlet and Violet. Scarlet and Violet with...
the base Scarlet and Violet set.
Yep, grinding on the front.
I think it's the last one we have of both of these packs. All right, you go first.
All right, my first Pokemon is Ralts Psychic. The horns on its head provide a strong power that enables it to sense people's emotions. Tandemouse, colorless. The pair stick together no matter what. They split any food they find exactly in half, and then they eat it together. Item, Trainer, Pokégear 3.0. Look at the top 7 cards of your deck. You may reveal a supporter card you find there and put it into your hand. Shuffle the other cards back into your deck. Floette evolves from Flabébé Psychic. This Pokemon uses red wavelengths of light to pour its own energy into flowers and draws forth their latent potential. Then,
Muck evolves from Grimer, Dark. Ability, Poison Sacks. Your opponent's poison Pokemon don't recover from that special condition when they evolve or devolve. It's thickly covered with a filthy, vile sludge. It is so toxic, even its footprints contain poison.
Footprints?
Yeah. Some Pokemon don't talk about footprints, but this one does. And it's... yeah. Maybe there's a body under there.
Ooh.
Vivillon evolves from Spewpa, which evolves from Scatterbug. Grass type. This Pokemon was born in a land where flowers bloom. It scatters colorful toxic scales from its wings during battle.
Opposed to places where flowers don't bloom, they just fly? Like, what? Sorry.
I don't know. They're weird. Okay. Then, Dachspun. Dachspun. Dachspun! Evolves from Fido. Psychic. Ability. Well-baked body. This Pokemon can't be burned. Prevent all damage done to this Pokemon by attacks from your opponent's fire Pokemon. That's cool.
Hmm.
The pleasant...
Because it's baking it? Or it's already baked, so it doesn't really affect it?
Yeah, well-baked body. Because the other one is Fido, and he's more yellow and doughy colored.
Right, Fido.
And this one's brown.
He's already a bun.
And bun, yeah. So that makes sense?
Interesting.
The pleasant... Well, if they got fire attacks on him, he'd just turn black. He'd be a black dog.
Yeah.
The pleasant aroma that emits from this Pokemon's body help wheat grow. So Dachspun has been treasured by farming villages. Reverse Holo, Starvia evolves from Starly, colorless. Pretty reverse holo too.
Ooh, nice.
Recognizing their own weakness, they always live in a group. When alone, a Starvia cries noisily. Oh my. Then, set my... My next reverse holo is rare. I think I still have my rare left. Houndstone evolves from Graveyard. Psychic. A lovingly mourned Pokemon was reborn as Houndstone. It doesn't like anyone touching the protuberance atop its head.
Basically the stone.
Yeah. And then... Oh, yes. I still had my rare left. Revroom evolves from Varoom. Steel. Ability. Rumbling Engine. You must discard an energy card from your hand in order to use this ability. Once during your turn, you may draw cards until you have 6 cards in your hand. It creates a gas out of poison and minerals from rocks. It then detonates the gas in its cylinders. Now numbering 8... To generate energy. Then a psychic energy.
Cool, cool. Alright, I start with Ghastly. Dark type. It wraps its opponent in its gas-like body, slowly weakening its prey by poisoning it through the skin.
Oh my.
Chimecho, psychic type. Emitting ultrasonic cries, it floats on winds to travel great distances. Paldean Student, Supporter Trainer Card. Search your deck for a Pokemon that doesn't have a rule box. Reveal it and put it in your hand. For each Paldean Student card in your discard pile, you may search for an additional Pokemon in this way. Then shuffle your deck. Fido, Psychic type.
I have the bun to go with that.
Yes. This Pokemon is smooth and moist to the touch. Yeast in Fido's breath induces fermentation in the Pokemon's vicinity. Clive. Your opponent reveals their hand, and you draw 2 cards for each supporter card you find there. Curlia evolves from Ralts, psychic type.
I think.
Yeah, you had Ralts as your first
card. Yeah, Ralts is my first one.
It has a psychic power that enables it to distort the space around it and see into the future.
Oh, gosh.
Technical Machine, Crisis Punch. The Pokemon this card is attached to can use the attack on this card, which is Crisis Punch, 3 colorless energy, 280 damage. You can use this attack only when your opponent has exactly 1 prize card remaining. My first reverse holo is a Clobopus, fighting type. Its tentacles tear off easily, but it isn't alarmed when that happens. It knows they'll grow back. It's about as smart as a 3-year-old. My other reverse holo is Artisan, stadium card. And I think we've had that before. And my rare is Magmortar, fire type, evolves from Magmar. Living in the crater of a volcano has caused this Pokemon's body to resemble its environment. It has an organ similar to a magma chamber. And a basic fighting type energy card. All right, so that's our episode. Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and other podcasting platforms. You can also find us on YouTube at the Hunterfield Institute channel. Just look for the Routes Through Pokemon playlist. Leave comments wherever you find us, and you can like, subscribe, rate, and review, please. We also update our current Pokedex from our games, our episode rankings, and our tally counts, and we post those on our Routes Through Pokemon Facebook page. And twice a week, I also do a Who's That Pokemon segment that I post there, and also on X and Instagram, where I also post some other things and updates. And you can find me on X at Hunterfield Inns and on Instagram at Kinetic_Card. Next week, we will be covering the Pokemon Adventures manga volume 13. And Flame will be back to join us for that. And then Ruby and I will also be covering a couple of the anime episodes that week, as we start closing in on the end of the Pokemon Adventures and the anime, and possibly the games, because I'm not exactly sure how long it'll take to get through the other 6 gyms. But we'll see. Until then, thank you so much for listening and joining us on this adventure, and we will catch you on the next route. Bye-bye. Sayonara. Part 48. Shocking Hints. Inside the Vermilion City Gym, Violet saw lines of open barrels. Beyond that was a barrier of some kind preventing anyone from reaching the man behind it. That was a problem, since that man was the gym leader, Lieutenant Surge. Violet said to the greeter.
How do I, get
through? Through to Lieutenant Surge? There are 2 secret switches in the barrels that will shut the barrier off.
So I'm just supposed to dig around those until I find them?
The man shrugged. You could, or you could battle the other trainers in the gym. They'll give you hints to make the switches easier to find.
Ah. Okay. This seems needlessly complicated.
Well, the lieutenant has always been a bit more cautious, and after a kid snuck through and stole a gym badge from him years ago, he's upped the security. Violet raised an eyebrow.
Someone stole a badge?
That's what I've heard. He takes his job seriously and is determined to never let that happen again.
Fair enough,
Violet responded.
I guess I have some battles ahead of me.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Stepping deeper into the gym, Violet looked over the trainers. There was one who looked like he probably worked in the shipyard, then a very clean-cut older gentleman, and some punk with long hair and wild clothing. The last one worried Violet a little, so instead she approached the older man.
Hi. I hear you'll give me a hint if I beat you in a Pokemon battle?
That is correct, miss. Let me know when you are ready to begin. Violet nodded, and then she looked through the Pokemon she brought with her. She knew the electric-type Pokemon were the speciality of the gym, so her best bet would have been ground-type Pokemon. However, she didn't want to wear him out too soon. But she also didn't want to bring in any of her flying-type Pokemon or her Horsea. They would be weak to electric attacks. That only left a few Pokemon to choose from, and she knew exactly which one it would be.
All right, I'm ready,
Violet said. Then let's begin.
Perry, I choose you!
A blue and white Pokeball spit out Paris into the match. The gentleman released his own Pokemon. Pikachu, time for another battle!
Perry, Stun Spore!
Send over a Thundershock, Pikachu! The Pikachu was much faster than Violet's Paris. The electricity came flying in and zapped over Perry. Fortunately, being part grass-type, it resisted some of the effects. Still, it seemed the Pikachu was also stronger, and so it still knocked the Paris back a bit. The stun spore flew up in the air at the zap and drifted away, missing the target. "Let's deliver it another blow," the gentleman said to his Pokémon. Another shock of lightning was launched towards Barry. The Pokémon skittered to one side and, at Violet's command, launched another stun spore attempt. This time, it fell upon the Pikachu, and it seemed to be having an effect.
"All right, I know you've taken some hits, but I think you stunned him now. Think you can hang in a little longer and get in some hits?"
Perry clicked its feet on the ground, showing readiness and excitement.
"Great. Then go scratch that electric mouse up."
The Paris charged forward and was met with a quick attack from the Pikachu. Despite its speed, the Pikachu was also hit by Perry's strike.
"Again, Perry!"
"Keep moving, Pikachu!" Perry went for another swipe, and the Pikachu just sat there, eyes wide. The scratch landed, and the Pikachu tried to shake its head. The stun spore was working. There was only one more hit from Pikachu as it struggled to fight off the effects of the spores. Meanwhile, Perry landed multiple more hits and put an end to the battle.
"We did it!"
Violet rushed over and picked up the Paris, hugging it. The Pokémon clicked happily, proud of its performance. "Very good," the gentleman said as he called back his Pikachu. "I suppose, then, that I should give you my hint. When you find the first switch, the second one will be right next to it."
"Oh, okay."
Violet blinked. She wasn't sure how helpful that hint was. After all, it did her no good without finding the first switch, right? Still leery about Mr. Rock and Roll, Violet moved on to the sailor. Paris had been battered pretty good, so she sent out Meowth that time. Her opponent, just like the gentleman, used a Pikachu. But, once it was defeated, Violet was surprised to find out that a second one replaced it. Violet got a couple more attacks in with Meowth before swapping out for another Pokémon. Then she risked bringing in her Horsea. She had been working hard with the Pokémon, and it had grown a lot stronger. So, when she had it release a series of bubbles, it moved faster than the Pikachu and took it out. Then her next hint was one word. Well, not even a word. It was a number. 3. Having a hint that was worse than the first made Violet think twice about pursuing the final hint. It all seemed a waste of time to her. Plus, her Pokémon had been beat up pretty good.
Look, I think I need to take a break. I'll be back after lunch, and...
She looked over at the punk.
Maybe we can finish this up then.
Leaving the gym, Violet started back to the Pokémon Center. She only made it about halfway before she heard someone shout out to her. "Hey you! Stop right there!" To be continued.